to Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 52. Hello there, everybody. How are you? How's it going? I'm going to do a Beatle impression for you. I gotta tell you, I just thought about this. I saw this movie this past week on Netflix called Paul McCartney is Really Dead. And it's supposedly George Harrison, before he died, mailed these cassette tapes to some production company with, the real story about Paul McCartney and how it was covered up. And I have to say, it was so creatively done, but it was so full of malarkey. I mean, first of all, I could tell it wasn't George Harrison's voice, and it was like this fake Liverpudlian, the guy was talking like, it was almost probably like I was doing it. He was talking like this. And they said, we loved him. We loved Paulie. And it was just like, shut up. They had this whole thing about they got a double to replace Paul McCartney. And then they just happened to get a double that was super talented, right? Could sing and write music. So ridiculous. But the funny thing is, the Beatles did plant all these weird kind of Paul is dead things on their records, there was a bunch of clues. There's no doubt about that, but I think it was just a big put on. I don't think that, why would they cover it up and then put clues on there? It just was very creatively done. But I believe it was malarkey, okay? But conspiracy, I have a friend who's a big conspiracy theorist. He said that Paul McCartney was cloned. There wasn't just a double, they got a clone. He's very big into, cloning, my friend. He has his own cloning factory. No, I'm just kidding. He jumps to conclusions rather quickly about things like that. So I don't know why I brought that up. Why did I bring that up? I don't know, because I was doing the Beatle impression. I love doing it. I just love the Liverpudlian accent. It's all right. It's all right. It's kind of British and Irish because they got an Irish influence. All right. Okay. Enough of the Liverpudlian Beatles thing. Hope you all had a great week this past week. Hope you had a nice New Year, a lovely New Year. Last time I recorded my podcast a week ago, it was my birthday. And that day I went to my go-to supermarket and I got a couple of birthday presents from people there. Some people hooked me up with some stuff. It was very nice. And then when I was in the midst of talking about my birthday to one of the managers there, some gentleman came up and he said, today's your birthday. He goes, this was my dad's birthday. This guy was like an older guy. So he said it was his dad's birthday. So I'm assuming his dad was no longer available for podcast listening. And I don't know why, I was just like, okay, it was kind of one of those weird coincidences. I don't know exactly what it means. I was going to ask him what he died of. But I wasn't going to ask him that because I think it's rude. Really? What did he die of? Is he around? Or no, I wasn't going to ask him what he died of. I was going to ask him how old he lived to be. Like, that would gauge how old I would, in my neurotic mind, I go, well, if he lived to be that age, that means that I could be, because, the weird things that I can come up with in my mind sometimes just fascinate me. They fascinate me. I just did a little pause to make sure that we were recording again. I got paranoid because last week, if you listened to last week's episode, would remember or know that I had to re-record the second, another podcast, because the first one, when I went to do the playback, most of it was gone. I don't know where it went. I don't know, it went somewhere. Anyway, my birthday was, it was okay. It was kind of, I just was uneventful. I enjoyed my peace and quiet. I didn't really, because of my other hip now being in bad shape, I just am not really into socializing all that much these days. But my friend Bill Walton came over and laid a nice little gift on me, and he didn't have to do that. That was very, very nice of him. And of course, I was talking about this, how people always, you know, there's also this pressure to do something on your birthday. And people ask you, like, the next day, what did you do for your birthday? But the next day is New Year's Eve. So after New Year's Eve, the people ask me, what did you do for New Year's Eve? It's just like 2 days in a row of, what did you do? What did you do? Now, people don't usually ask you with that kind of intensity. They don't say to you, what did you do on Tuesday? Where were you on Tuesday? Unless you're wanted for a murder or a crime or something. So that's that was that. New Year's Eve came. We're in 2013. And so far, it's been a fabulous year. We're 6 days into it. I just can't believe how great things are going. Got a call on New Year's Eve that afternoon from a guy I grew up with. And he left a message for me. And then I called back and got his machine. And then I left my cell number as well. And then he called me back and left a message saying that his wife erased my message, so he didn't have my cell anymore. And I thought to myself, hey, this is becoming too much work. You know, there might be a reason we're all in each other's past at this point. But anyway, him and I used to hang. We used to run together back in the day, do some crazy stuff. Oh, there's the, can you hear the car alarm? Maybe, I don't know if you can hear it. Ding, ding, ding. Car alarms. Amazing. They just go off. Oh, it just stopped. Car alarms have not outlived their usefulness because people never respond. I don't think anyone ever responds to a car alarm going off that there's possibly a crime happening. It's always like, you know, I never bother to look. I just figure, hey, it's just, you know, a malfunction because that's what it is. So they should call them malfunction alarms. Just say, we're just going to install this alarm into your car just to annoy your neighbors when it malfunctions. What do you think it is? What do you think of that? So, I want to talk a little bit more about my go-to supermarket and some of the events that have happened there this past week. So I go there, and they have unarmed security guards. And the lady that used to be there most of the time, she's not there any longer. She's the one responsible for me getting insurance. She found out about how I could get insurance, and I'll be forever grateful to her. But they have these Filipino guys. One is this old guy. They're both kind of old. One is an old, short guy that looks like if you sneezed, he would actually fall down. And he's got this look on his face like, I don't know anything. I don't know nothing. I'm security. That wasn't a bad Filipino accent. And then the other guy is a heavyset guy, a little bit, maybe a little younger than this guy. And he comes on the 2 days the other guy's off. And so I'm friendlier with the heavyset guy. You know, why not? I'm still kind of heavyset myself. Why not align yourself with the heavyset? But I am losing more weight, I'm telling you right now. So I pull into my spot the other day, and the heavyset guy, we'll call him heavyset guy, HSG. HSG is walking. He walks right past my car. I mean, right past the passenger side of, not the passenger, the driver's side of my car. So I'm about to get out. He doesn't turn his head and look at me. And I open the door and I go, hey, heavyset guy. I didn't call him that, but that's the name. That's the name we're going to call him in the story. Heavyset guy. You don't say hello? He goes, oh, I did not see you. I go, oh, you didn't see me. I said, very observant of you as a security guard. I mean, for crying out loud, you're a security guard. You're supposed to be observant. You don't recognize somebody 2 feet from you that you actually know? Well, what chance do we have of you protecting us from some kind of, you know, outside agitators or whatever? And then he goes, oh, you know, I'm making my rounds. I have to go around my rounds and I have to punch my card to let, you know, that way they know I've made my rounds. I punch my card into the machine. I go, that's great. You know, the bureaucracy thing. You're not really looking, you're not really doing anything to protect the place. You're just punching your card. You know, and he's a nice guy. What are you going to do? These guys make no money. What do you expect? What do you expect? What do I expect? You know, I expect people to do their jobs. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, it'd be nice if we started paying people actual livable wages. I'm sure this guy is he's lucky if he's made, I mean, he's probably making $10 an hour if he's lucky. Okay? All right. Then, I'm in there. I don't know if it's the same day, maybe another day. I'm in there, and I'm talking to one of the guys in the produce department. And so I see this skinny guy walking towards me. And he kind of has this, like, look in his eyes. Like, he's kind of smiling, like he's going to say hi to me. And then he gives me a sort of, like, you know, mad dog, weird paranoid look. And he has no groceries, no cart, no push cart, no carry cart, nothing. He's just walking. And I get, like, a weird kind of, like, vibe from this guy, you know? I said to the guy I was talking to, that guy just kind of mad-dogged me. I didn't know, really appreciate that. I don't really understand what that's about. But then I let it go, and I continued shopping. And then we ran into each other face-to-face. And I said, excuse me, that we were kind of, like, in each other's way. And I said, excuse me, and then he said, excuse me to me. I figured, all right, he's not all that bad. Then he comes around again. And I was talking to one of the managers, and I'm friendly to these managers, and I said something, I don't know, and then he kind of looked at me, kind of paranoid, and then he starts walking away, and as he's walking away, he keeps turning around and looking at me, and I'm starting to get that kind of weird James Holmes-ish kind of vibe, like, is this guy going to shoot the place up? So I go to one of the kids that work there, and I said, do we have any undercover? They have undercover security that comes in from time to time. What these people do is they pretend to shop, and they catch shoplifters. And I know a couple of them. One of them used to work there as a bagger, and now he works as an undercover occasionally there. He works in different stores. And another guy who works with him, I know. So I figured I would alert, if there's somebody there, just alert them that this guy, like, keep an eye on this guy, because I don't know, he's going to shoot this place up. I'm a little bit concerned. And he goes all the way to the end of the store on the aisle, and he just stands, and he kind of, like, he's behind the display, but he's got he's looking at me. And I'm getting really, really creeped out. And so I asked his kid, are there any undercover, you know, security around? Because I think we need to, you know, he goes, yeah, it's that guy over there. It was the guy that was mad-dogging me. This friggin' douche is walking around, you know, first of all, you're not blending in, idiot, okay? And then I mention it to the manager, and she goes, well, yeah, he's kind of new. Screw that. I don't care. He's kind of new. That's like saying, what's that like saying? I don't know. It's like I go to the store, and the checker, you know, does completely, you know, does my bill, she checks out, or he and she checks me out wrong, and they charge me $100 more. Oh, he's new. Or they bag my stuff, and they put the eggs on the bottom, and they break everything. Oh, he's new. He doesn't know. Well, you know, get some training involved, folks. See, that's a case where I'd say that there's no excuse. I don't care how much money you're making. You know, you're going to put somebody in a position like that. Why are you creeping out me? I'm a good customer in this supermarket. I got to freaking start thinking because of all this crazy, you know, mass shootings. You know, and I'm just like, oh, man. So, you know, I'm going to rat them out to my friend next time I see them. I say, you know, yo, I'm telling you what, this is what happened, and you may want to check into this guy. I don't have any problem ratting this guy out, okay? So don't call me no rat, yo. Yo, yo, yo. And then I get another, I talked a couple podcasts ago about people in that store telling me jokes. And, you know, I'm not good with jokey jokes. They're never, ever funny. Not even usually, they're never funny. And how a couple of guys there had told me some jokes. And so anyway, one of the guys that told me the jokes, one of the jokes, a guy that I know fairly decently, he came up to me and he told me that the other guy was complaining to him, saying, you know, I told that guy Al a joke, and he didn't even laugh. And this guy said, what are you? He goes, Al's a comedian. They're not going to laugh at jokes like that. He goes, oh, I didn't know Al was a comedian. But what's the difference if I'm a comedian or not a comedian? I mean, laughter is involuntary, Mr. Worker in Supermarket. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm obligated to laugh at your stupid joke. So now when I see him, he's got this kind of weird look at me. I kind of avoid talking to him, and I'll, you know, if I come face to face, I'll be cordial. But if I can avoid it, I avoid it. I mean, really? You're going to get sensitive over the fact I didn't laugh at your unoriginal joke? Imagine how I feel when I have an original joke and I'm doing it and I get laughs. And I am sensitive. So sensitive. So darn sensitive. I'm so darn sensitive. Why am I talking like this? Because I don't want to talk like this. So, big news in the building. Gosh, this building is really going through changes. Many people are moving out. I mean, we're going to have about 5 empty apartments soon. And this is a 30-unit building. I've never seen it like this before. One guy got a job. Harry moved to out of town to do a gig. It's going to take him away for many months. He figured, hey, why pay rent? And a few other people are moving. And, you know, so it's this constant change over here. And so I get a notice, and they're doing what's called the annual inspection of our apartments, which is funny because I've lived here many years, and but we've never had an inspection before. So the fact that they're calling it an annual inspection is it's kind of funny. The manager, Aaron, he made a joke when I told him that because he didn't know. He goes, well, in that case, we maybe should do it monthly to catch up. It's not a bad joke. I kind of chuckled. So anyway, we're having an annual inspection, and the inspection is to inspect things like our smoke detectors or smoke alarms, which my smoke alarm is very, very, very sensitive. My smoke alarm is very funny. If I'm sitting in my reading chair and I light a cigar, I just light the cigar, and I take a few puffs, that alarm, that smoke detector, will go off. But it will very soon after, it will shut down. It's as if it knows. Now it knows, like, it goes off. It goes, oh, there's smoke. And then it goes, oh, it's just Al with the cigar. False alarm. Just a cigar. Not a fire. Just a cigar. Don't worry. Because it doesn't, I'll continue to smoke. I'm sure there's more smoke as I'm smoking. And it seems to be fine. So I think it's recognizing. The way Siri on the iPhone recognizes your voice after a while, smoke alarm is starting to recognize my cigar. And then they're also going to install, at some point, carbon monoxide detectors, because there's a new law that states that they have to do that, so that we don't die of carbon monoxide. They're coming also to inspect our appliances, which I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, my stove, my refrigerator. I don't know, maybe one of my can openers. I don't know. They're coming. So they're coming tomorrow. I'm sure I'll have some kind of story to tell you next week. Hopefully it'll be amusing. Hopefully it'll be fabulously entertaining. And you'll just tell all your friends, you've got to hear the annual inspection story. I mean, Al was off the charts on this one. I couldn't believe it. It was as if I was there. I like when I make myself laugh during this thing. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't know what you're saying. Okay. A couple other things, I think, maybe. Facebook. I want to talk a little bit about Facebook. I found a couple of old pokes. I've never initiated a poke. Let me just get that straight. I've never just poked somebody. Because I think, you know, I don't understand the concept of the poking. That, you know, so-and-so just poked you. I never understood it. So I have poked people back. And now I'm in a sort of a poking frenzy with somebody. I found a couple of old pokes. And to a couple of ladies. One lady I used to know locally. Another lady that lives out of town I've never met. And I'm compulsively poking them back. I'm seeing, maybe I think I'm kind of experimenting to see if I can just kind of poke them until they just can't be poked anymore. I don't know what, you know. I mean, there's no downtime. They poke me, I poke them back. They poke me. It's like, you poke me, I poke you back. You poke me. There's no emails. There's no chatting. It's just poke. And I don't know what it means. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I was tempted to say to the girl, who I don't know, what are we doing here? What's going on? But now I'm just going to keep poking until I decide to stop poking. You know, I'll put the poking on the back burner. Put the poking on the back burner. And Then I got, you get these friend requests from, various people. And the way I work it here is if they have a lot of friends and especially if they have, we have mutual friends, either in the comedy business or my neighborhood where I grew up, whatever, then even if I don't know them, I will accept them, assuming that that they're cool, that they're okay, they're not going to be crazy. And but if I get a friend request from some kind of hot-looking girl who has six friends, and none of them are mutual friends of mine, I'm suspicious. So I got one this past week, and I wrote her back. I emailed her. I said, do we know each other? Because he sent me a request. I don't. And then a few days later, she wrote back, I know some of them, but you can chat me, open chat, and we can get to know each other. So obviously some foreign hood, trying to pull something on me. Got six friends, and she decided to make me one of them. So we're not going to be accepting that, okay? In case she happens to listen, I'm sorry, honey. Get some other friends. Get yourself a couple hundred. Then come back to me. You got a couple hundred friends? Then you come see Al Berman. And Al Berman I'll talk to you about friendship on Facebook and what it means to me. And then I'll poke you. And you can poke me. And you can poke me. And I can poke you. And we can poke each other. Let's see. Last but not least, I've got a couple people in my life that are funny. I don't know them well. One lady that's a checker at the go-to supermarket, and then where is it? Somebody else, somewhere else. I was, and they asked me how my knee. They keep asking me how my knee is, and I have to keep telling them it's not my knee; it's my hip. It's very funny. I mean, it's just like it's a moot point. I mean, they're just asking how I am, but I just find it. They got the wrong body part. Wrong body. Maybe I should just do that next time. How's your knee? I should just go wrong body part. Like a robot. Wrong body part. Beware. Wrong body part. Ooh, they sound like a hip hop. Wrong body part. Beware. Wrong body part. It's my hip, and I'm hip, and you know that I'm going to go on a trip. So don't try to give me a sip of some Tanqueray when I nip it in the bud for you. Because I got the bud. It's going to smoke it with a Jew. And I don't... All right. Enough for that. Enough of that freestyling. Anyway, okay. Well, I've enjoyed myself thoroughly on this podcast, this week's podcast. Thank you again for all that, all of you that listen, and all of you that will listen in the future, and all of you that have listened but have moved on to either other podcasts or to other dimensions. I just want to thank everybody and for listening. And I don't know, tell a friend if you wish. I'm not going to, I don't want to bug you too much. I don't want to get into, it's funny on the internet, one other thing, a comedian friend of mine, he just wrote an e-book. And he's a good writer. I mean, he writes good blogs. But he sent out an email, stating that he's got this book out, and it was very happy for him. I haven't gotten it. I don't know if I will. I might at some point. I might not. I don't know. I read his blogs sometimes, and then he sends another email out asking a favor, and it's the subject line is a favor, and then he's asking people to do him a favor and buy this book, and that's the thing that I don't like about the marketing aspect. Some of the marketing on online now. It's just that people are, why should I do, what's in it for me? I mean, I don't ever hear from you, ever, hardly, once in a while, maybe in a blue moon, I don't know, we're not really friendly, we're not friends, we're cordial when we see each other, so why do I need to do you a favor? Why don't you just convince me, buy the book through, manipulation of my mind, as opposed to just asking me straight up. I don't know. Maybe he's right. But I don't know. I just feel weird. I just like when people say, vote for me. Vote for you. Stop it with the voting. Okay. Stop it with the voting and the favors. Anyway, okay, thank you folks again. Until next time, this is Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.